It is by now proverbial that every proverb has its opposite. For every time is money, there is a stop and smell the roses. When someone says you never stand in the same river twice, someone else has already replied there is nothing new under the sun. In a mind's arithmetic, 1 + 1 = 2. Truths are not quantities, but scripts. Become for a moment the mind in which this is the truth. This week's opening quote comes from James Richardson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, I'm back in sunny California again, and my God, what a time it is here. What has happened to this place while I've been in Europe for the last 5 weeks? We had the Las Vegas shootings next door in Nevada, and we've also had these amazing wildfires in Northern California. And these are wildfires like you have never seen before. These are very, very strange fires that seem to have erupted spontaneously at around 1 o'clock in the morning in about 60 different locations across the Northern California region. And this is a very, very strange looking fire, folks, as is the shooting in Las Vegas, a very, very strange looking shooting. And I don't want to spend too much time on either of these two events today because they have been covered in depth by many other people. But suffice to say that both of them are extremely weird. And it always seems to be the way, folks, whenever I have time off the show, the world just erupts into all these life-changing events. It's just very strange. This seems to happen whenever I have time off. It's just quite amazing. Almost like clockwork. Whenever I'm traveling or I've pre-recorded an interview with someone, like such as I did with the In Power Movement on the last show, something always seems to erupt. And I've just been kind of sitting back and watching all of this unfold with great interest, most especially the Las Vegas shooting. It's been a very, very bizarre event. And I'm actually quite surprised at the way the independent media has responded to the Las Vegas shooting, the way people have jumped to conclusions within hours of the event happening and have slagged off anyone who has jumped to dissimilar conclusions, because people have certainly jumped to conclusions on both sides of the fence, and they did so very, very quickly. And I suppose I shouldn't really be so surprised at this at all, because it's a programmed response from both sides of the fence, because that's the way people have been programmed to react in the last couple of years, folks. The entire independent media has become very, very confrontational, whereby if you do not agree with everybody 100%, then you are perceived as the enemy. And this is a programmed mentality that has been kind of superimposed over people, and it really does prevent any real research from ever taking place, because people are not able to share ideas, because they're not able to discuss things without arguing about them and getting accused of being whatever if they happen to disagree. Not very constructive, but again, it's what people have been programmed into doing. Many of the newcomers into the independent media or the so-called truth movement or whatever we can call it have been acting this way. And as I said, folks, it is a programmed response. It's all to support the divide and conquer mentality. That's why I don't state positives on anything. I think people should always keep an open mind rather than adopting belief systems and just allow all the cards to fall where they may without having a stake in any particular outcome being true. You know, don't have a vested interest in being true because you didn't adopt a belief system to begin with and you didn't say this is, and so when it's proven that it isn't, you don't look like a fool because you didn't say that it was to begin with. See, people have a stake in the outcome because they stated a positive and they're scared of looking like a fool, and that's why they will never back down and why they continue to argue. And it's really not a very constructive way to do things. That's the problem, folks. I mean, I'm open to all possibilities with all of these events, folks. I really am. I'm open to the fact that they're completely staged and complete hoaxes. I'm open to the fact that people died. I'm open to the fact that they even go down the way the official narrative says. Of course, that's a little bit of a fast stretch when one looks at these events. But what I'm saying is you should not adopt belief systems, especially within hours of these events unfolding. You really need to look at all the pieces of the puzzle and allow them to unfold and let the cards fall where they may without having a vested interest or a stake in any particular outcome to be true. You know, and it's such a confusing event. it's so hard to get any real information or to piece together what happened because there's so many conflicting reports and there's so much conflicting video footage. And really the one thing we can say that we do know about the Las Vegas shooting is really the only thing we can say we know for sure is that nothing about the official narrative is factual. None of it is true. Nothing went down the way the official sources say it did. That should be obvious to anybody with the power to rub two brain cells together. But what really did happen, well, that is anybody's guess. And what is really more important than trying to piece together the details is looking at what the response to this event is going to be, which will be, of course, more surveillance, very likely scanners in hotel lobbies, and more power to the police and less rights for the people. That will be the response. But, of course, the independent media doesn't address this. What they do is commence squabbling amongst each other over whether it was a false flag, whether it was a complete hoax, whether there were people who died, whether they were crisis actors. And look, either way, whether they were crisis actors, whether people died or not, it was still a false flag. It wasn't Stephen Paddock. That one thing is for certain. That's one thing we do know. It was not staged by the people they say it was staged by. Of course. So it was a false flag, regardless of whether it was a hoax or not, regardless of whether people died or not. And the important thing is how the event is going to be used. I mean, this is what destroyed the 9/11 truth movement as well, was people squabbling over the details of all these events that they simply didn't attend themselves. You know, none of us were there, so none of us really knows what happened. And adopting a belief system and slagging off anyone else who has a different belief system is really not helping the problem, ladies and gentlemen. It really isn't. And I see so much of this in the independent media, and it's quite sad to see, because it is exactly what the government wants them to do, which is, I would suggest, why they make the events so confusing, why they make them so obvious, and why they attempt to convince people to lock themselves into a belief system so early, within hours of these events happening, before any real information has even really surfaced. And what do we really know about the Las Vegas shooting? Well, we know that it's very likely physically impossible for a 64-year-old man to have carried all of that hardware up to his room. We know that it was very likely impossible for him to remove two 800-pound windows without being swarmed by security guards because he was in a casino. And we also know that there should have been shell casings all over the room had he really been firing a machine gun from the room. So we know that all of that is rubbish. We've also got video footage of what appears to be shooters in the crowd. We've got video footage of what appears to be a helicopter over the event as well, which may or may not have been a source of machine gun fire. It could have simply had collision lights flashing. We have reports of multiple shooters. We also have reports of shooters being seen on the fourth floor. We have a starting gun going off before the singing started and the shooting starting straight after that, almost like a marker gun. We have video footage of a man walking through the crowd, apparently examining wounds of victims. But in amongst it, of course, we have reports of crisis actors. And we have video footage of obvious crisis actors doing interviews. We have video footage of a woman who was supposedly shot in the shoulder doing a little shimmy with her twin sister while she's in a hospital bed. And it's just physically impossible that this woman would have been pierced by a bullet in her chest and shoulder and be doing this little shimmy she was doing. We have a woman who walked through the crowd saying, "You're all going to die." Was she simply a director giving instructions to all the crisis actors who were assembled there? Was the whole thing one big theatre show? Who knows, folks? We have so many conflicting reports. We have reports of multiple gunshots and multiple shooters at multiple hotels. We have police scanner radio, which completely contradicts the official narrative. And really, when you put it all together and attempt to make something coherent out of it, it's almost impossible. So anybody who can really take all of that information and say, well, this is what happened at this stage, I would suggest is really having a love affair with their own ego, because with all of the information we've got to go on, it's virtually impossible to know what happened at this point. And we would actually gain a little bit of focus and gain some freedom and simply turn and face the government, perhaps ask these questions, perhaps we would get somewhere. Because all we really have to go on is the fact that Stephen Paddock obviously didn't do it and that the official narrative is obviously false. So really the question is the same old thing, folks, and that's always the question. Qui bono? Who benefits? What was this really for, and what will be the result of this event? And imagine if all the voices in the independent media decided to put down their differences, stop arguing about details, and simply ask that question, and turn and ask their government that question, and ask the media that question, and ask the media to address all of the discrepancies that I've just outlined for you, and ask the government to do it as well, and sit back and just wait for the response that isn't going to come. Well, perhaps we would get somewhere. Perhaps it would serve to wake up a lot more people if we were to simply point out the discrepancies and not lock ourselves into any belief system by claiming this is and arguing about it and thereby perpetuating the government's divide and conquer strategy just like they want you to do, perhaps we would get somewhere. Now, there's so many things wrong with this event, and we've got so much ammunition now if we present it to people in the right way. But stop arguing about the details and claiming fact on things which are usually too avant-garde for the average person to even think about, and realize the opportunity you've got here to use this event to wake up the average man on the street, because just about anybody who looks at this can see that the official version is a complete crock. It's all lies. It's obviously lies. It's not in any way at all possible. So if we were to just focus on that, perhaps we would actually get somewhere. And that, unfortunately, is what we very often fail to do when all of these events are given to us, and they are given to us as gifts. You know, as George Bush even said, there's opportunity in all crisis, and there's opportunity for truth in this crisis as well. There's opportunity for the independent media in all of these crises to put our differences aside and present them to people in a way that can be understood, in a way that doesn't require them locking themselves into any particular belief system, and it doesn't require you naming who the culprit is and how it all went down when you really don't know. All we know is the official version is false. That's all we've really got to go on, and there's so much which indicates that. There's so many proofs to that, and there's absolutely nothing to back up what they say happened. So I think that's a good starting point if we could just put all the conjecture aside for the moment. I really wish people could see this, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an endless source of frustration to me how people continually lock themselves into belief systems and attack anyone who doesn't agree with them. It's very, very counterproductive, and it's a fantastic strategy that the government has put into the minds of people, very, very effective, and really doesn't get us anywhere. Divide and conquer, ladies and gentlemen. They're very, very good at it, and it's very, very important that people see how they are being played. You know, there still is opportunity in all these events. There still is opportunity for some form of unity, and all we need is unity of focus. I'm not asking for any unified movement, just unity of focus. We can make a difference if we just respect each other and allow people to think differently and realize that we don't know what happened. All we know is what didn't happen, and that is what the government and media is telling us. And that should be obvious, as I said, to anybody who can rub more than two brain cells together. You know, if you really want to be an activist and you really want to be a truth seeker, you want to be a researcher, and you really want to stand up and make a difference in this world and stand up against this system and bring humanity to some point of safety, then one of the most important things you absolutely, positively need to understand is that the most effective tool the system has against the people is division. And you've got to be prepared to put your differences aside to allow other people to think differently and not lock yourself into any particular outcome being true. As I said, folks, divide and conquer. It is such an effective strategy, and it is in play so much with almost everything that we are seeing coming out of the independent media. And as I said before, it's presented this way. That's why the events are all staged the way they are staged, just to keep us arguing amongst each other. And there are so many events being staged. Like I said, America, it's really being flushed down the toilet at the moment. The hurricanes, the fires, and the shootings, and these fires in Northern California, this really, really is a bizarre series of fires that happened this September, ladies and gentlemen. The fires in Santa Rosa appear to have been some type of directed energy weapon, and I know that sounds strange, and I'm not saying that's what happened, but we know that these weapons do exist. These capabilities are there in the 5G grid, and we've had DARPA talking about active denial systems and what these systems are capable of for years, so we know that this is possible. And you have to put it on the table because, honestly, when you look at things, well, that's what it looks like. How do you have 60 fires break out simultaneously at 1 o'clock in the morning and do such an incredible amount of damage to the area? And these aren't fires that have appeared to have jumped from place to place via sparks and caused one long continuous chain of fire. These are just fires that seem to have sprung up simultaneously and spontaneously and completely decimated all the areas that they touched. The homes that have been destroyed in the fires in Santa Rosa have been so incredibly destroyed, you just have to wonder how this happened. I mean, there's virtually no structure left standing at all. There's no beams, there's nothing. And there's still trees that aren't burned. And I can understand that a fire will rush through an area. Like a forest fire will rush through a forest, it will burn all of the undergrowth and leave the big trees undamaged. But if the fires are burnt so incredibly hot and so incredibly intensely that they have reduced the houses to absolute ashes with virtually nothing remaining and have melted the cars into the street next to them, how are these trees left undamaged? And some of the trees are containing quite small branches and kindling and stuff that should have gone up very, very easily. Many of the plastic wheelie bins and plastic rubbish bins are still intact in these areas as well. And there's one shot that I saw of a truck which has got what appears to be a circular hole through the truck. And the truck is virtually melted, and the front of the truck isn't even bubbled. The paint on the front of the truck isn't even bubbled. The tire on the front of the truck is not melted. The plastic around the indicators and headlights is not even melted or buckled or even grayed over like it's been subject to any type of heat. And yet the car itself appears to have been melted, and it appears to be a almost circular hole, like some sort of a particle weapon or something. I mean, bizarre as it sounds, folks, this is what it looks like. And people are saying, well, they only burned certain suburbs because the firefighters came and they kept it back and they held a fire line, but there's no water damage in any of these suburbs. There's no indication that the firefighters were actually there at all. There isn't any water anywhere. There's no remnants of foam. There's nothing to show that they created a fire break. It's almost like one particular square area and one particular block was microwaved and across the street it wasn't. That's what it looks like. Very interestingly, there's also multiple reports coming out from Santa Rosa of people who claim to have seen what appeared to be a burst of blue sparks in the air and many blue sparks on the ground, almost like this was an electrically created fire. So one really must question what this was. Was this some sort of beta weapons test? Was it a demonstration of what the 5G grid active denial system is capable of? Was it something that went wrong? Was it simply a glitch in the system that caused a short circuit and caused this explosion in the sky, which then went out and caused these fires? What happened? There was a woman who was sitting on her porch saying it was a beautiful night. She was just sitting there enjoying the night, and suddenly an 80-mile-an-hour wind blew up, blew her gate open, and the next thing she knows, the place was engulfed with flames. What causes this, ladies and gentlemen? This is a very, very strange event. And there are a lot of questions to be answered, but it certainly was not what we are being told that it was. I mean, this fire just does not look normal. And hey, I come from Australia, folks. We see a lot of bushfires, and I've never seen a fire that looks like this. I've never seen a fire that causes trees to burn from the inside out. I mean, sure, I've seen trees burn from the inside out if they've been struck by lightning, if this was a forest fire that was caused by lightning strikes, but there were no lightning strikes that night. There were no reports of lightning strikes and there was no thunder reported, so how is a tree burning from the inside out? And even if this was a hollow tree, which I really wonder whether it was, the question is, how is it burning on the inside if it was not first burning on the outside? And what causes things to burn from the inside out? What causes things to cook from the inside out? And the other question to ask is, what would damage from a 5G microwave weapon look like if applied to a tree? The point is, folks, that nothing about this fire appears to be normal. Not the way it started, not the time it started, not the damage that it did. And there's also been reports of arson that's been suggested as to why there were so many fires, and I would suggest that there was arson, folks, but the arson came from whoever is running the 5G grid, whoever used the active denial system against the people of Santa Rosa. whether it was done purposely or whether it was, as I said, a glitch in the system, whatever it was, this doesn't appear to be any type of normal fire. Fires just don't burn this way. Damage just doesn't happen like this from a normal fire. 40 people confirmed dead, but of course there are many, many more people that are missing, and many of the people that have been found, any traces that have been found, which are very few because, as I said, almost everything has been reduced to ash, but any people that have been found, any traces, are completely unrecognizable and may never even be identified, and we'll just have to wait and see what sort of lists of missing persons come out before we know how many people actually perished in these fires. But the question is, folks, where did they come from? And what causes a fire like this? And should not the people of Santa Rosa perhaps be asking the government who microwaved their county? And will they please come clean on the active denial grid and what 5G is really capable of? Because this is everything that I spoke about a couple of months ago when I warned what the 5G grid could do. And this is exactly what this active denial system can do. This is exactly what targeted directed energy weapons can do. And we've seen reports of these weapons way back since the 1980s. There are reports of Russia developing these weapons. There are reports of the United States developing them as well. And that was back in the 1980s, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is, 2017. What do you think they are capable of now? Well, I think that what you've just seen in Santa Rosa is what these active denial systems are capable of. And I think that's why they probably targeted so many areas, because you can show how you can target so many different areas at once, and you can reduce these areas to absolute devastation within a matter of moments. And I would not be at all surprised if this was a beta test. You know, the United States is really on borrowed time, and perhaps it's even about to be handed over to a foreign power, and this is what the foreign power will be using to control the populace. And I'm not saying that's happening, but, well, America certainly does owe an unpayable debt to China, and there aren't too many countries around the world who would complain if they saw the entire population of the United States microwaved after what the United States has done to their countries. Because, of course, the people in these foreign countries don't blame the governments the way they should. They just blame America in general for the damage that's been done to their countries. And in a way, they're right, because the American people have simply allowed their governments to do it. But again, this is simply because they're programmed to do so as well. So they can't really be blamed for the state of things. And as I said, folks, I'm not saying any of this is true, but when you step back and look at all of these pieces of the jigsaw on the world puzzle, a lot of very interesting possibilities present themselves. The governments are certainly going all out to protect themselves from whatever is coming. You can see this in Australia. There's been a new huge fence built around Parliament House in Australia, and the police have been given M4 machine guns, and now they're all dressed like Batman. So you can see it's coming there too. It's coming everywhere. And as I've been saying very often lately, a lot of this that's going on is to cover up the fact that this whole police state 5G active denial grid is coming out. And what better way to cover it up than to actually use the system itself to create all the havoc that they want to use to distract the people from what the 5G grid can do? Because no one would believe it anyway. No one would believe that you can use energy weapons to create and steer hurricanes. No one would believe that you can use energy weapons to create fires and spot fires and create winds and do all the things that they've done. No one would believe any of it to be true, even though the government documents all exist to show that it is true and that they have had these weapons capabilities for years, and they've been warning us that this is the direction that they're going down for decades. Even though that's there, you can tell people about it and still no one will believe it. No one would believe that their government would do it against them. No one would believe that which they can see right in front of their faces, and it's very unfortunate. And what are the people coming up going to have to deal with, folks? What are the people coming through school going to have to deal with when they really come into this system if we don't start dealing with this? And really, folks, the kids that are coming through are really going to have a lot on their hands. I was speaking to a friend the other day, and he said that a Home Depot business that is employing new millennials has actually had to create an instruction video to teach these kids on how to use the most basic things in the shop, like use a tape measure and use some of the tools that they are going to be selling people. The kids that are selling them don't even know how to use them. They've never seen these things in their life because they're not digital. Now think about that, folks. This is someone who has graduated high school, gone through college, and is now starting their life as an employee in the workforce that needs an instruction video on how to use a tape measure. Think about that. That is shocking, ladies and gentlemen, that we parents and people who can actually think for themselves have allowed their government to destroy the education system to the point that kids don't even know how to use a tape measure. They don't know how to write with a pencil. They don't know how to write their name properly. They don't know how to spell. They don't know how to do the most basic things and use the most basic tools. This is disgraceful that we have allowed this to happen. That we've been so compliant to the wishes of the criminal cacistocracy that runs this system and runs our governments, that we have given up so many rights and we have allowed even the right to have our children educated in a proper way and even our right to have our children have a chance to succeed in the world as a real living human being with real life skills and a real potential in life. We've given up this basic right, folks. We've neglected our children so badly and so profoundly that we have allowed our education system to be reduced to this. And what sort of a future is this race going to have? This is going to result in the absolute ultimate nanny state where nobody is able to perform the most basic of functions without an instruction manual. That's the way our world's going, folks, and it's about time we paid attention. I don't know, folks, the world's just gone crazy in the last few years. It really has. I mean, a few years ago, I used to come onto these shows and I used to keep them so positive. There were so many positive things to look forward to, or so I thought. You know, I really believed that if I could empower enough people, we could just stand up and make a difference. And I still do. But I guess I've always known that it's not really going to happen until it comes to people and they can see it right in their backyard. But it really is right in people's backyards right now. And I wish I could still come on and say all the positive stuff I used to say, but there is a real sense of urgency in the air, and it is imperative that people pay attention and regain control of themselves and regain control of the system. It's imperative that the people of the United States do this, and of course the people of Australia and England as well. It's very, very important that people of all countries stand up and address what is happening and regain control of this earth, because where it's going is a very, very ugly place. And if we don't develop a little bit of respect for each other and stand up as one united voice soon, folks, then the fat lady's going to sing, and we don't want to hear the song. It's not going to be pretty. And I want to try to bring you a few positive things and a little bit of good information after the break, now that I've spent all of this time on these two events that I wasn't really going to spend any time on. Interesting how thought flows go, isn't it? But we've reached break time here, folks, so we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, amidst all of the turmoil that we see in the world, amidst all of this really bad stuff that's happening, sometimes there is a little ray of sunshine. Sometimes something good does happen. And in the spirit of that, what has happened just a few days ago is that the California Governor Jerry Brown actually vetoed Senate Bill 649. And Senate Bill 649 was a bill that was the wireless industry's wet dream, because it would have blocked the ability for cities and counties to control the installation of the very microwave technologies that we've seen, I would suggest, used in these fires. Now, if this legislation had passed, it would have seen the door open for industry to completely take over all the other regions as well. So the bill has been vetoed, which means that people can actually stand up against this 5G grid being rolled out. And that's a good thing. And this, I would suggest, has happened because of the people who've taken action and have made their voices very loud and clear in response to this 5G situation. Again, the Empower movement has made massive steps in this direction. They've been sending messages to this particular gentleman as well, and they've been letting him know that if this grid is rolled out, he will be among one of the people who is held liable. And this has seen, as a result, the vetoing of Bill 649. So if this can be done in California, then it can be done in other states as well, and it can be done in other countries as well. it's a very good sign for the people, folks, that you can make a difference if you choose to get involved. That's been one of the hugest obstacles to freedom as well, folks, the lack of people's involvement. And, of course, this stems from the division that is created in the movement as well. People are scared to get involved because they don't know who they're getting involved with. And really, all they need to do is get involved with the system, get involved on the ground in their own community, get involved against the system, in standing up against the system, making some sort of a difference that way. They don't need to get involved in some movement. They don't need to be led by anybody. They need to lead themselves, but they need to see what the problem is and be prepared to stand up and ask the right questions and simply ask why they need to walk between the lines that people tell them to walk between, because we don't have to do this. We're not meant to be controlled the way we are. You know, so many shows I've done recently, I've been talking about the 5G grid. I've been talking about the people farm that we live on, the fact that we are living on a people farm. I actually had someone comment on one of my videos the other day, you forgot to name what the people farm was for and what they're farming. Well, folks, it's a people farm. What do you think they're farming on the people farm? What do they farm on a cattle farm? What do they farm on a pig farm? What do they farm on a chicken farm? What they farm on the people farm, of course, is people. And what they harvest is the resources of this earth and the energy of the people in doing so. You know, we've constructed a system based on permanent growth whereby we are required to strip mine our environment in order to support this system. And now we're getting to a point where they don't really need us anymore. And so the whole mass of useless eaters, as they would like to call us, are being flushed out to dry. They're being flushed out to pasture and they're being done away with. And they're being done away with very openly. I mean, it is getting more and more open. We've been talking about a depopulation agenda for so many years now. And people are waiting to see something in their face. But when it does happen, they don't think that that's what it is. They think it's something else. But what do you think all these floods and hurricanes and fires and all these things are really about, folks? What do you think all this GM food is really about? What do you think all the plastics in our environment, the massive drop in the male sperm count and all the stuff that's happened as a result? What do you think all of this is about? It's all about depopulation. It all supports the same agenda. What do you think the migrant influx into Europe is all about? What do you think the money system is all about, how it drives people into scarcity and creates more and more homeless? What do you think all of this is about, ladies and gentlemen? It all moves towards the same direction. It all supports the same agenda. It all discards more and more people. Really, when you look at it, that is the common denominator with all of these events. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about war, doesn't matter whether you're talking about starvation, GM food, homelessness, the migrant influx into Europe, the Kalergi plan, the fires, the floods. What is the common denominator? The common denominator is that people die. Humanity gets discarded. And it's been going on for quite a long time. You know, as I've said, World War III is already being fought. And it's a war that is being waged against the people by the criminal class that is running this world. And this is something that I've been attempting to alert people to for many, many years. This is why I tour around and do all the talks that I do, and why I attempt to make a difference while there is still time to make one. You know, often the problem is that people just don't believe they can make a difference, but they can. You know, everything you do makes a difference. Life is not meaningless at all. Every thought you have means something. Every action that you take means something. But we spend so much of our lives in a state of distraction. You know, we get urged on by our peers to do all these meaningless activities, come to the club, come and get drunk, go and watch a movie, whatever. You know, all these things that are often quite enjoyable to do, but they're very often a distraction from life. Many people might think, well, no, this is living life. Going and doing these things, going to movies, going out and partying, this is living. This is what it's all about. But is that what it's all about, really? Is that really what we came here for? Do we just come here to party and to buy fashionable clothes and drive fast cars and drink cocktails and do all these things that people do that they think mean something? They think gains them social status? Is that really what it's about? I don't think it is at all. I think there's something far more profound to this existence. I think we have a far deeper meaning to being here. I think we could do incredibly wonderful things if we were left to our own devices and allowed to create to our fullest potential the way we should be. You know, if we weren't educated into this system and trained to walk between these lines, I think we can do marvelous things. But we're not even doing the things that we did when I was a child anymore. We're not doing anything marvelous anymore. The human race isn't doing anything meaningful at all anymore. All we're doing is fighting wars and arguing amongst each other, collecting fashion, collecting status. Money has become the most sought-after thing in the world because this is what happens, of course, when you place a race in scarcity. Money becomes the most essential thing you can get. And this further serves to divide the species and divide the races. It causes a schism in our society, a massive schism. It's caused huge problems in the poorer regions in Europe. Countries such as Albania, countries such as the Ukraine, Russia, countries where people are struggling a lot more than what we are in, say, Australia or England or America, countries where it's very difficult to get a real job or anything decent, countries where people are stuck in very, very mundane jobs or no jobs at all. And you get massive amounts of people that simply have no future. And this is causing huge problems. And it's also causing huge problems in young people. Young people are finding it very, very difficult to communicate with the opposite sex these days. Not only because they're constantly texting to each other, many young men simply don't have the financial security to gain the confidence to talk to young women. And many young women simply don't have any interest in talking to them because they're not financially secure. Unfortunately, this is what many women in Eastern Europe are seeing as the most important thing in any developing relationship. And this is not a good thing. This is not a way for young love to blossom. And how do you ever have a population without young love? How do you have a population if people don't get married and fall in love and have children? How does the human race go ahead if it suddenly becomes all about trinkets and driving a fast car and being with the man who's got the money? And then you get old and you get discarded. You end up a old wino lady who's thrown on the pile and meets with the other ladies at the bowls club. I mean, whatever they do, I don't know. But there's no future in this lifestyle. And this is unfortunately the way the world is being led. You get situations now where you'll get a bunch of young teenage boys or young men standing around a park just talking amongst themselves, wishing that they could converse with the women in the town, wishing they could find a partner and maybe start a life for themselves. And the women will walk past them and you'll ask them, why don't you go and talk to these beautiful girls that walk past? And they'll say, well, because they're not interested in us. They're only interested in the people with the money. And you'll go out to a club and you'll find some rich old guy and he'll have six or seven beautiful young women hanging off his arm because he's got the money. And it's become all about that. That is what attracts people now, is wealth and some sort of security in the world, because the world has become so insecure. And unfortunately, young people are gravitating towards people who have money in the belief that these people will make them secure and keep them secure. But it doesn't happen that way. They just get used for a little while and then they get discarded and they get thrown on the pile with everybody else, or often worse. And that's what our world has become. This is what this situation of scarcity does. This is what this monetary system does. This is why you can see all these countries that don't want to get involved in the West, that we are told are our arch enemies and our axis of evil because they're not part of the system. Well, look what happens when you become part of the system. Look what's happened to the United States. Look what's happened to Ukraine. Look what's happened to every country that's got a central bank. Every country that's got involved in this system has gone down the tube. Every country that's got involved has found all of these trinkets to play with, but ultimately the population of the country, the humans of the country, have been discarded in order to support the system, because that's what the system is for. The system isn't there to support humanity, it's there to control and ultimately discard humanity. That's its entire purpose. And that's why when people look at the system and they say, oh, it's broken, it's not functioning, they don't realize that, yes, it is. It's functioning perfectly. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's not broken. It was never broken. It's meant to do exactly what it's done, and it is now moving towards the final end game and the final lockdown and the final mining operation. That appears to be what's happening, folks. And I would not be at all surprised if a number of Western countries are about to change hands. I think we're going to see that some debts that have been happening behind the scenes are about to be paid. And well, that may or may not be true, but as I said, you know, when you step back and you look at the world stage and you put all the pieces in their place, well, there are a few very, very interesting possibilities that present themselves, and this is one of them. So it has to be put there and acknowledged as a possibility. Whether it happens or not, the card is still in play. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you look at all of this stuff that's going on in the world, and coming and doing these shows and trying to keep it positive, it becomes very, very difficult. It really does. And I do want to be able to bring some really positive, empowering information to people. But what I've been basically doing for the last 9 years on this show is screaming out, wake up. It's time people do wake up and stand up for themselves, because we are under attack. And I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize that their governments are not their friends, that all of these problems that we face are coming from governments. The whole thing has been theater right from day one. The whole internet has been about tracking people and about bringing this whole smart grid online. And all of this stuff they're staging on the ground is to distract us from this final end game, which is all rolling out now. You know, I don't know what else I can do to stress the urgency of our situation. And I've done so many shows where I've brought empowerment to people. I've done so many shows where I've explored the different philosophies of life, and I could continue to do that. I mean, I could come onto the shows and I could just be really positive all the time, and I could talk about higher realms and spirituality and whatever you want me to talk about. I mean, there's all sorts of things we can consider. There's all sorts of philosophies to explore. But if we don't have the freedom to do that, if we don't have the freedom to explore these philosophies, and if we ignore what is going on around us, then what is the point of it all? You know, and so much of the Western system, so much of the New Age movement and everything that's happened in the land of the free, the home of the brave, and all that it's done to the world, you know, the American system, which has filtered itself out through Australia, through England, through Europe, everybody became Americanized. This whole thing has created this whole fantasy world where everybody's waiting to be saved. Everyone thinks there's this big awakening, there's this big enlightenment, there's this big thing that's going to happen, and suddenly the whole world is going to be healed. Suddenly everyone's going to just wake up to themselves, and everything's going to change, and all the wars are going to stop, and all of this great stuff's going to happen. And I reckon it's a program, folks. I really do. I think it's a big trick that's been played on everybody, which will cause us to simply sit back and bask in our own egos and allow our hubris to lead the way and allow the world to simply be led exactly to where it has been led today. And it's not a good place, ladies and gentlemen. It's really not. We're not being led to a good place. And I don't know how many ways I can say it, and I don't know how else to stress the urgency of our situation. But we are not in a good place right now, and we do have the ability to change things if we can get some focus and get some unity. And I know I just keep beating this same drum. Sometimes I don't even know why I do it. Sometimes I don't know why I come on and continue to do the shows and continue to beat the drum, when I just wonder if anybody's listening. I just wonder how many people out there are prepared to really get involved and really start making a difference and just disconnect from the system. Now, we've done it in California by just sending this liability notice and say, hey, look, we're not going to do this. If you're going to do this, then you're going to be liable. We're not going to walk between your lines anymore. People have just got to do that. Just that one simple thing, to stand up for yourself. That's all people have to do, stand up for themselves. Don't expect your government to stand up for you. If you've got something wrong in your community, don't write to your politician and ask them to fix it. Go confront them and ask them why they did it, because they are the ones who did it. These are the ones who create all the problems. We just have to shift our focus, and this is what I've been attempting to share with people for so many years now. You know, it's just people that are running this, and if we shift our focus and ask them why they're doing what they're doing, don't petition them and ask them to please change things. Ask them why they did it in the first place, because it's not what we employ them to do. You know, this whole thing that's going on is a spiritual war, ladies and gentlemen. It's a spiritual war more than anything. Even the people that are going down all these legal rabbit holes, and even the Empower movement and everything they're doing with this liability action they're presenting to the politicians, none of this would work without the spiritual understanding that you have to even stand in that, to even be able to ask these questions. You've got to know yourself spiritually. This whole thing is a spiritual battle. It's all a battle that goes on in higher realms, and all of the problems come from the politicians, but ultimately they come from us. They come from our refusal to look at our shadow self, our refusal to face this darkness within ourselves and to question it when we see it in others. We're just told to ignore it. No, it doesn't exist. It's not in you. It's not in anybody. It's just evil. It's Satan. It's Lucifer. It's something external. It's nothing you can deal with. You just have to sit back and wait to be saved. This is what we're taught. We're taught this since birth, and it's a fiction. It's a lie. It's rubbish. We don't have to do any of this. We simply have to stand in what it means to be a spiritual sovereign being and to call these people out for what they are, and we can change the world. We can do it very, very quickly. And if we don't, well, look what we're facing, folks. Look what they're bringing online with this whole 5G thing. Look what just happened in Santa Rosa. And no, this was not a normal fire. I don't care what you say. This was not a normal fire. I've seen fires, and this does not look like any fire I ever saw. And admittedly, I wasn't there. I can't really judge, but I can look at the terrain. I can look at how the spot fires are formed, the incredible amount of damage that was done to just these areas, while the house next door isn't even singed. How does that happen? How do you have a house that is reduced to absolute ash and a car on the street melted in front of it, but the house next door is not even singed? Not even brown, not even blackened a little bit. How does that happen? How do you have a wooden fence standing in the middle of a field where all the houses around it are burnt? You've got a brown wooden fence standing in the middle, completely unscathed. How do you get stuff like this? This was not normal. Nothing that we're seeing is normal. The human race is under attack, and we have an ability to turn it around right now. But if we don't stand up for ourselves, well, I can come on the shows and I can be as positive as you want. I can say anything you want me to say, anything that you will feel is good and make you feel great and make you be able to go and enjoy your weekend, but how can I look at all of this stuff that's coming and honestly do that? You know, I don't come here for election points. I don't come here for popularity. I don't do this to make money. I don't do it to be a guru. I don't do it to put myself in any sort of status at all. I do it because it needs to be done. I do it because the people who are running the system don't take holidays. They don't take days off. I do it because I want to make a difference, and I want you to make a difference. I want people to hear the urgency of our situation and clearly understand that they can change things. We can change this if we all stand together. So let's put our differences aside and agree to disagree and stand up and address this situation, ladies and gentlemen, because the other option is not a good option. And we have a chance to make a difference. So, hey, let's do it. And that's what it's been about. And that's what this show's always been about. That's what I've been trying to say right since the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's always been about. The fact that you can make a difference. All you have to do is choose to take that first step. And I know there'll be many people who are listening to this and they'll be saying, oh yeah, same old, same old. Here he goes. It's the same thing that he always says, the same thing that he's been saying for years. When are we going to hear something new? But folks, look around you. You're getting plenty of stuff that's new. The world is deteriorating around you because people simply aren't standing up for themselves. So what do you do when you get to this point where you can see what the solution is and you can see how easy it would be to implement the solution? And yet everybody who listens just says, well, where is the solution? Because they don't want anything that involves them actually getting involved themselves. And they have to. You know, we are under attack. You are under attack. It is time you stood up for yourself and at least fought back spiritually. If you're not prepared to fight back physically, and you shouldn't really need to, then at least fight back spiritually. At least stand in your spiritual power. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of being who and what you are. Don't be afraid of asking the right questions. And it's not going to be by confronting the police. That's not what all this is about. That's what people think it's about. You know, people think, oh, standing up for yourself, that means protesting and marching in the street and getting harassed by the cops and all this sort of stuff. It doesn't. This means disconnecting from the system, not going along with what they're doing, and asking the politicians to explain themselves. Putting the cards on the table and saying, well, here it is. Here's the evidence. Here's what's going on. So please explain yourself, because otherwise we're going to throw you out. And we're going to do things properly. You know, but we need unity. We need unity and focus to do it. And so many people out there saying, oh no, unity is terrible. Unity is what is going to lead to the New World Order. These people are so programmed. They don't get it. It's not unity of a movement, unity of a group. It's just a unity of focus, clarity. Clarity in people's minds. So that they at least have the ability to stand up for themselves and realize what's going on here and realizing that they have the ability to change it. And we have the strength of numbers. Then we can go back to fishing and skating and doing whatever we want to do. All the stuff that people believe separates them from each other and all the stuff they want to be individual or that, whatever. Do it. Go ahead. Be my guest. Whatever. But let's have that unity of focus first Let's agree that there's 7 billion of us, and there's a few thousand of this kakistocracy that are actually running things, and we don't have to do what we're doing. And we are under attack. I mean, how many people have to die? How much mayhem and chaos do we have to see in the world? How much financial slavery are people prepared to put up with before they're going to realize that they don't have to do this, and the world is being run in order to discard them slowly, that they are in fact being subject to a slow kill operation? And war is war. It doesn't matter how fast you're being killed, folks. If you're being killed, you're being killed. And they need to stand up for themselves, because otherwise they're just not going to last. And we have to do something about this. I don't know what it's going to take for people to see this, but it is seriously time for people to get involved. And as I've said many times, folks, you don't have to really do anything to get involved. The best way to get involved is to get uninvolved, to simply refuse to comply, to disconnect from the system, to stay home. Let's have a day of non-compliance. Again, the 15th of every month. Don't spend any money. Don't go to work. Disconnect from the system. Promote it everywhere you can. At least start with one day. Start with something. But get involved, ladies and gentlemen. It's your future. It's your children's future. This is our world that we live in. And we deserve to at least have the right to live here and do what we want to do and to live fruitful, peaceful lives. We don't need to have any of this stuff happen to us. We don't need to be fighting any of these wars. We don't need any of this death and destruction. And we certainly don't need any of this 5G grid. We don't need any of this surveillance. We don't need any of this banking. We don't need any of the things our governments are doing. What we need is some sort of spiritual renaissance or something, if we ever had that to begin with. I don't even know if it's a renaissance, but we need some sort of spiritual awakening to happen. And we need for people to realize that this is a spiritual battle, and all they have to do is face that reality and stand in their spiritual power, and they will make a difference simply by doing that. Because by doing that comes great inner power, and it gives you the ability to stand up for yourself. And that's what we need to do. I don't know how else to say it. That's what we need to do. Well, we're getting very close to the end of the show again, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry I didn't bring you a show last week. I was very busy traveling last weekend and just didn't get a chance to bring you one. And I'm sorry I haven't been able to bring you something a little bit more positive on the show today, but I've certainly come back to crazy world here in the United States. I'm here in LA for 2 weeks, and then I'm heading to Hawaii for the Cambo workshops. I'm going to be there for the entire month of November. And then I'm heading back to Peru, where I'm going to be spending the wet season in Peru and working on the films and trying to get some sort of regularity back in my life. It's actually going to be quite good to get off the road again. And depending on the internet connection, which can be rather problematic sometimes during the wet season in the jungle, I should be able to get shows to you pretty regularly once I'm there. But thank you to all the people who have put up with me having this time off, and thank you to all the people who continue to listen to the show, and especially to all those who support the Patreon account and support the website, and the many people who send me so many emails. I've got a huge backlog of emails there to get through, and there's many people I'm sure are hoping for replies from me, and I should get some of that done as well once I get back to Peru in December. Please bear with me until then, ladies and gentlemen. I hope there's nothing too urgent in your emails, because I simply haven't had time to look at them all. But I will get to them once I'm off the road and back in the jungle and I have a little bit of time to myself. And I should be able to bring you some more shows while I'm here in LA for the next couple of weeks, and I should be able to bring you shows also while I'm in Hawaii. So we should be back in the flow pretty well from here. I think the worst of the travel is over. And again, I'm also speaking at the Anacapulco conference in Mexico next year. If you'd like to go to that, you can go to the anacapulco.com website if you want to purchase a ticket. And if you use the coupon, the Crow House, you'll find that you'll get a discount on the ticket. And that'll also help me out if you want to do that. And it's actually the last gig that I've got booked to speak, which is a good thing for me. I really do want to have a little bit of time off next year and try to get the films completed. And thank you to all those who have put up for so long waiting for the films to come out. I do want to get them done, and I promise to get that done for you as soon as possible. But folks, we have reached the end of the show here, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And again, I'm sorry for so much negativity on the show today, but well, that's just the world we live in. But I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In luck, Keshe.